Praise God. Praise God again. Yeah, I'm grateful to God this morning, and I thank God for the privilege that He has accorded me. And I'm greatly honored to be here to share the word of God with all of us. And I want to thank God especially for all of you, because you are the people that God has chosen to be the audience today. And I pray that God, my prayer is that God may use me as a vessel of honor to deliver what He has prepared for us today. Yeah, let us pray. Mighty and everlasting Father, we want to thank you, O King of Glory. Even when we are just about to hear your word this morning, O God, your word tells us that, Father, you do not prepare a table without people to dine, O King of Glory. And we are grateful this morning to know, God, it's us that you have prepared, O King of Glory. I pray, Jehovah Father, the Holy Spirit of God will come and be with us to break this word, O God, into macronutrients, O Father, that will benefit our souls, O King of Glory. Lord Almighty, I pray, O Jehovah Father, that you may give me the ability to function, O God. I pray, Jehovah God, that I may decrease, that you may increase, O Father. I pray, Jehovah God, that you may use me in accordance to your will, O God. Thank you, Father, for I believe and I trust, O King of Glory, your word shall not return to you void, O Father, but you shall accomplish the word, the work in which, Father, you have sent it forth to do this day. In Jesus' name have we prayed and believed. Yeah. Today I want us to read our first reading will come from 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. And I will read. So that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his intentions. I repeat, so that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his intention. But other fashion says that be aware of the schemes of the enemy. Be aware of the schemes of the enemy. So we know that God wants us to be well informed. He wants us to be well informed. We have to know the schemes of the enemy. We have to know how the devil works so that we can be able to operate. We all know as Christians that we are under constant spiritual warfare with the enemy. And as we all know that the devil has one mission, which is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his mission. And the only way that then we can avoid to be stolen, to be killed, and to be destroyed is when we become aware of his schemes. When we are aware of his schemes, we'll be able to operate. And I want to draw a parallel, like, for example, when you're driving around the town, you know, if you're not, most of us have used a GPS. Or if you have not used one, you have seen somebody else use it. And after you have been helped, with the help of the GPS, you are able to navigate through the town or wherever you are going to. But as time comes by, when you become familiar with the routes, when you become familiar with the highways, the intersections, you can be able then to move from one point to another without the use of the GPS. So this is the way God wants us to operate. God wants us to become aware, to become familiar with the schemes of the enemy. So you know when to stop. You know when to go. When you know that when I get to this road, there is a stop sign, it automatically comes to your mind, you stop. You don't need maybe the GPS. You don't need. You will know that when I get to point A, there's a stop sign. When I get to point B, I turn left. When I get to point C, I will have to make a U-turn for me to get where I'm going. But in case you are not familiar with the routes, then, and you just drive anyhow, number one, you're not going to get to your destiny. Number two, you're likely to cause the accident. But when you let, initially maybe you were guided by the GPS, or you had you have the steps how you're gonna go. But as time goes by, you become familiar. You don't need the GPS, and therefore, the GPS, which is the Holy Spirit, I'm not saying that you don't need the Holy Spirit of God, but every time you become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you become familiar with the Holy Spirit, you become sensitive to his voice. And therefore you know when to turn, when to stop, and when to go on. And today, I would also like, so that's why God is saying that we need to know the schemes of the enemy so that he does not take advantage of us. So there is something that the enemy has that you don't have. But when God equips you with that power, he's no longer at your advantage, but he's subject to the power that you have. And that's why we can be able to put the devil under our feet. And today God wants us to see how do we then become aware of these schemes. Which are these schemes that the enemy uses in order to steal, in order to kill and destroy us. And today our reading again will come from 1 Kings 17. Oh, sorry, 1 Kings chapter 22. It's a lengthy text, and I'm going to ask our sister Purity to read for us, and then we'll go from there. Thank you, Purity. You can stop there. Yeah, as I told you, it's a lengthy text, but we're going to go through it, and God will minister to us through that. This is a story about King Ahab, and what happened is that there was no war between Aram and Israel for 3 years. Then on the third year, we find King Jehoshaphat going down to Israel just to talk with King Ahab, and he finds that King Ahab had a meeting with his cabinet, his officials, and they had decided to go and attack a town that was called Ramoth Gilead. When I researched, I found that Ramoth Gilead was a city. It was an old reputable city, a city of refuge east of Jordan. So it was a very important city, a city that whose inhabitants were Rephites. And we know Rephites in the Old Testament, they were the high priest. This is a group of people that only never worshipped the golden calf. Initially, the priest used to come from the firstborn sons, but when Moses went up Mount Sinai to get the commandment, and the people of Israel felt that he has delayed so much, they went ahead and made the golden calf. But there was a group of people that who knew who God was, God of Israel was, and they remained faithful. These are the only people that never worshipped the golden calf, and therefore they are the Levites. They are people that from there on, that God chose to become the priests. This is the city that Ahab wanted to go and conquer and bring it back to Israel, because by that time it was under Syria. The king of Syria is the one who had that city. But we find that when he told Jehoshaphat that, Jehoshaphat told him that, my army, I'll go with you. My army and myself will and back you on this endeavor to go and capture this city. But one thing we find here in this text, he told him, is there not a prophet that we can inquire the Lord about this battle? Jehoshaphat, if you read about Jehoshaphat, and this is written in 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles 17, you'll find that, and I'm going to read, let me just read how it is written about King Jehoshaphat, 17 from 3. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because in his early years, he walked in the way of his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and followed his command rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gift to Jehoshaphat, so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. You see, that's the kind of king Jehoshaphat was. He was a man who devoted himself to God. When somebody is devoted, somebody that is dedicated to the word of God, is somebody who is steadfast in his walk with God. And because he consulted God, he inquired of God. He never consulted Baal, like King Ahab, though he was the king of Israel. He consulted the Baal, and we all know that Baals are the false prophets. He never did that. He continued to walk in the walk of his grandfather, who was David, because Jehoshaphat was son of Asher. And we are being told that he walked in the ways of his father David that walked. And we know for sure, we know the Bible said that David was a man after God's heart. So this is the kind of the person Jehoshaphat was. And here is Ahab, a wicked man, a man who consulted the Baal. And he wants to go and attack this city called Ramoth Gilead. And they have agreed they're going to go with there. But because the Spirit of God was in Jehoshaphat, he asked Ahab, are there not prophets that we can ask? What is the Lord saying? What is God saying pertaining this war? And Ahab said, they are. And he went ahead and corrected about 400 prophets who were not real prophets. They prophesied to him, and he told him, you can go ahead. God will give you favor. You're going to win this. You're going to win this battle. But Jehoshaphat he did not take that for an answer. God had given him a discerning spirit, the spirit of the right judgment. And it's my prayer that you and I, that God will give us that spirit of the right judgment. Because he defies the order. He does not take what he has been told. And he says, is there no one that we can consult about this? And he's told that there is a man of God, there's a prophet of God. You see, these were prophets of Israel, but they were fake. And he's told there's a prophet of God that we can consult. And his name was Micaiah. So And the king was disturbed. When he heard about Micaiah, he had a record with him because he said, oh no, why do you want us to consult this guy? You know, why do you want us to consult this prophet? He never prophesies anything positive in my life. In fact, the Bible says he said, I hate. Let me read for you. Okay. I didn't underline, so, but if you read, okay. But I hate him because he never prophesies good about me, but only disaster. So it's not that, so it means that Ahab knew about him, and everything that he was prophesying was coming to pass, and that's why he said, I hate him. But Micaiah was a prophet of God and was like, people will hate you when you stand on the truth. People will not like you when you tell them the truth, because truth hurts. We like when we are being deceived. Because you see, Ahab had gathered 400 prophets that was telling him, you're going to win. And that's all he wanted to hear. Sometimes we want to hear things that are good to our ears, but they are not necessarily edifying. But when you tell people the truth, it hurts. But if you're like Micaiah, you will not be discouraged. You're going to stand firm in what you're saying because God is backing you up. When heaven is backing you up, and when you know God, that God has the final say, he has the final say, you won't be moved. So let's continue to see what happens. After he said all that, then we can see, just as you go down, you find that another prophet, among these prophets that was telling the king what he wanted to hear, he goes ahead because Jehoshaphat has said that they need to send somebody. They need to go consult from Micaiah. He sent somebody, and it's one of those prophets, and tell them, you need to tell the king that he need to go for this battle. He will win. He will win. But Micaiah was like, no, I cannot do this because this is not what God has said. So in this scenario, we can see the enemy. Because mark you, these other prophets, they are not real, they are not fake. So their master is the Satan. And he is coming, sneaking in. He wants to corrupt Micaiah. He wants to use him to corrupt the prophecy of God. Go tell him he will win. And I was saying, how many reports have we received that they have corrupted our minds? They have corrupted the truth that we know about our God. Is it that sickness? Is that report that you had? Is it the way things or the situations that are going around you that they have made you cease to believe in the truth that you know about God? But let's continue and see. We find that Micaiah at first, but Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, Rorain, you can go back a little bit. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, I'll say whatever the Lord says to me. And it's my prayer that we're going to be like, we'll stand firm. No matter what comes our way, no matter what's going to be tossed in our way, we'll stand firm saying, I'll say what the Lord says. I'll say what the Lord says about my life. I know the plans that he have about my future, to give me a future and a hope. Will you say that? You'll say what the Lord says. I know I have hope. I know God will deliver me. I know God is my present help in time of need. Will you say that when circumstances are tossing you around, when everything that is surrounding you is speaking negative, will you say like Micaiah, I will say what the Lord says? And I thank God for that song that we say, that when you know God has the final say pertaining your life, will you listen to what the doctors have said? Will you go back home discouraged because you have been fired? No. You will say, I know God. I know the plans that you have for me.
to give me a future and a hope. I know, God, you have said that even the birds of the air do not sow, yet you feed them. What about me, God? I that you created in your own image and likeness, I that you gave your only son to come and die for me, what much more, Lord, can you do for me? I know, God, you can do exceedingly abundantly, more than I can think and imagine. And you'll go home and at peace, because that is what the Lord is saying pertaining your life. Let's continue. So he went to the king, and the king asked him, Micaiah, should we go to Ramoth Gilead for war, or should we refrain? Micaiah told him, march up, succeed. The Lord will hand it over to the king. Continue, Lorraine. But the king said to him, how many times must I make you swear not to tell me anything but the truth in the name of the Lord? So you see, the king now has made Micaiah to make a covenant. When he's swearing by the name of the Lord, this is not a promise. It's like a covenant. What I've told you, it will come to pass. And he says, must I make you to swear so that you can tell me the truth? Continue, Lorraine. So Micaiah said, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without shepherd. And the Lord, they said, they have no master. Let everyone return home in peace. So they are going for the battle. And this is what Micaiah sees. He sees Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without the master. Matthew, King Ahab was the king. He was the master of Israel. He was the one that was ruling Israel by then. And what Micaiah sees is sheep that have been scattered that on the hills. So there's a problem here. Where is the master? What will happen to the master? Where will they be scattered on the hills? Lorraine, So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he never prophesies good about me, but only disaster? Remember, at first he had said he hated Micaiah because he had always told him. And when he made him swear, he told him what the Lord has said. That if you go to the war, you're gonna be killed, and your people will be scattered on the hills. Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, and the whole heavenly host was standing by him at his right hand and at his left hand. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab to march up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one was saying this and another was saying that. Then a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. The Lord asked him, how? He said, I will go become a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophet. Then he said, you will certainly entice him and prevail. Go and do that. So that's how the enemy works. Although Ahab had been told the truth, the enemy came and said that he's going to entice him. When you are being enticed, you are being lured into something more attractive. It's just like we say that in life at times we tend to think that glass is greener on the other side. That's an enticement when you think things are going, they are better on the other side than they are. You're being attracted. You are being made to feel like it's going to be more comfortable, going to be more well on the other side. And God asked him, how are you going to do that? I'm going to put a lying spirit. This is how the enemy works. Those are his schemes. Number one, he uses lies. He misinterprets the truth. And this we can see from the beginning, from Genesis, when he found Eve in the garden. And he told her, why don't you eat of the fruit of life? And she was like, God told us when we do that, we're going to die. And he told her, no, 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 you won't die. That's a lie from the enemy. And we can see him also in this scenario, lying. He uses the lying spirit. After that, he entices you. To entice, I told you, is to lure you. It's like just we do the fish. You put the bait on the fishing hook, and then you can be able to lure the fish, and you're going to catch it. And that's how the enemy works. And he told, no, no, you're not going to, you will not die. What will happen when you eat of this fruit? When you eat of this fruit of life, you're going to become like God. You'll know what is evil and what is good. So there's that promise that things will be better. And she got enticed. So the enemy, number one, rides to her. And he made sure that she felt that things going to be okay, things going to be better. She wanted to know about this, how will I get the knowledge of life. And that's what happened to her. So the enemy is very crafty. Those are his schemes. He will lie to us. He will entice us with things, and we'll fall into his schemes, as we'll see later on what will happen to Ahab. Let's continue. Okay, so I can say what happened is that after that they went and they agreed with King Jehoshaphat. So they have the tactics of war. What's going to happen? They have defiled what the Lord has said. They didn't take it. And now they have embraced themselves to go to war. Because Ahab was such a wicked man, he believed in his chariot. He believed in his horses. And he never listened. He disobeyed the voice of God. And we see him when he's going to the battle. He tells Jehoshaphat, "This is what we are going to do. Jehoshaphat, you will wear the robes, the king's attire." So you can imagine, Jehoshaphat is joining Ahab to go to war with him. He's dressed up as a king with the robe and everything. And King Ahab says that he's going to camouflage, meaning he will wear the attires like those of his army. You can see how wicked he was. He wants Jehoshaphat to go to war wearing the kingly robes, attracting, meaning he will be spotted from a distance, but himself, he wants to disguise. You can see how evil he was, how wicked, how crafty he was. And there they went. And when they went to war, so he had the armor. We know all about the armor. He clothed himself in armor, and they went to the battlefield. And we find that the king of Syria, he gave an order. The king of Aram had ordered that two chariot commanders do not fight with anyone at all except the king of Israel. So the order that was there, do not fight anybody apart from the king of Israel. And when the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they shouted, "He must be the king of Israel." Mark you, he's dressed all in robes and everything. You can spot him from afar. So they turned to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out. When the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. So there they had been told, fight no one, don't fight the enemy, the army, don't kill anybody, small or big, but I want you particularly to pursue the king. But when Jehoshaphat saw the army coming and he knew his life was in danger, he cried out. I want to believe because he was a man of God. Maybe he cried out to God. And these people were able to tell. They did not know. They didn't tell her that it was Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, because of the way he was dressed, but by his cry. And I was like, it's very possible for us, when maybe Pastor Tony is talking and you are here in the sanctuary, he's in the sanctuary and you are
you could be outside in one of these rooms, you can be able to tell that's Pastor Tony, that is so and so. After being familiar with them, you can tell their voices. Like if the Kenyan president, maybe Arap Moi spoke, you could tell that is Moi. If Kibaki spoke, you could tell that is Kibaki. You cannot confuse the two, because over time you have become very familiar with their voices. And when he cried out, he was saved. And it was like God. When God becomes familiar with your voice, when God becomes familiar with your voice, when you cry out, he will hear you and he will save you. You will not perish. What was meant for evil for you, it will not come to pass. But God will be glorified through what that was meant for evil, because God is aware of your voice. Just like, because you'll only be able to, God will know your voice and you'll know his voice because you have decided to inhabit, to dwell in his presence. That's the only way. If you have God in you and you continue to dwell in God, you'll become aware of his voice and you'll be able to know your voice. And when you call out, God will know that for sure that is my child that is crying out. And he will send help, because God is our present help in times of need. And I believe that's what happened to Jehoshaphat. He cried to God and God came forth and spared him. He was meant to be killed, but God, when he cried out, that's when the enemy knew that was the king of Israel. But it's very interesting what goes on thereafter. When the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they shouted, let's continue. So they were being told that when they knew it's him, they didn't pursue him anymore, and they went. But they got so frustrated. They got so frustrated, and I can believe they were frustrated just like you. Just the other time we knew how like America was frustrated trying to capture Osama bin Laden. But one point they would think they have him, the next thing they realize this is not the man that we have been pursuing. They have used a lot of resources, a lot of time, and maybe it has even went on air that they have captured the right man, only for them to get embarrassed, knowing that they had the wrong person. So this is what happened to the army. They got so, you know, they were frustrated. But a man drew his bow without taking special aim and struck the king of Israel through the joint of his armor. Out of frustrations, he drew his bow and threw it. He was not aiming it at anybody. I can imagine maybe he was throwing tantrum. How could we have missed him? And there it goes. And we are told that. And he struck the king of Israel through the joint. It had not been aimed at him, but it struck him at the joint of his armor. Meaning what? In his armor, the joints, you know, like maybe it's in the joint, the bones are not joined together by bones. Bones do not join together. There is always ligaments and tendons that join. It's a weak point that you can be able to cut through and separate the bones. So in this armor, there was a section. There was a weak point. And that's where the enemy threw, this where the arrow that had been thrown got Ahab, and he got killed. Though he had an armor, there is a section through which, there's a joint through which the arrow went through. And as Christians, we've been told to put on the full armor of God. But it's a sad story that we could be here this morning, believing and knowing that we have the full armor of God, but there is that section that the enemy is aiming at. There is that gap that has been left. And we know that Satan is always constant at war with us. He's always aiming darts at us. And that's why we have been told to put on the full armor of God, and more so, the shield of faith. To do what? To shield ourselves from the darts of the enemy. So it does not mean because you have the full armor, the enemy is constantly aiming at you. But the only way we can be able to take advantage of the enemy is to make sure that there's no that gap. There's no that gap that he's gonna aim at you. And it's only God that will help you to seal that gap. And that's why we are here this morning, so that God can empower us, so that God can give us that knowledge, so that we can hem our armor more strongly, that when the enemy aims the dart, he will not fight that section. He will not fight that section. Because we've been told darts are being thrown to us on a daily basis. But it will depend with how is your armor constructed. Is there a weak point that the enemy can point and get you? Will the enemy get you through discouragement? Will the enemy get you through pride? Will the enemy get you through? Will the enemy get you through familiarity or comfort? Some of us, we have become so comfortable. There is that danger. We have become comfortable. For example, some of us, we are aware that we know that we are sinners. We really know deep down we are sinners. But outwardly, we are good. We do what we ought to do. We are decent. We are moral. Everything is going on with us. And therefore, the enemy has made you, just like Ahab, to think that you are putting on that full armor. And therefore, you are at peace with yourself. You are at peace with the world. And you don't see the need for a savior. So the enemy is making you comfortable in this life. And you're going to war. You have camouflage. Because when you're not saved, you're camouflaging. No matter what you do, you don't have Christ in you, you're camouflaging. And today God is warning us about that. He wants us to put on his full armor. Because when we camouflage, there's that section that has been left. So you continue doing good, thinking you're pleasing your heavenly Father, and you're out there, but the enemy is throwing the darts at you. So you're going to go on with this life, feeling comfortable, feeling everything is okay, there's no need for a savior because you're good. And guess what? In a matter of time, the enemy going to take your soul. Because he have seen that section where you have allowed yourself to be comfortable, where you have found no need for a savior because you are morally upright, you don't steal, you don't do all these things. But you need God to save your soul. You cannot save your soul. You need him. You need him. So this morning God wants us to seal that section. He does not want that gap of us feeling comfortable. The other scheme that enemy, you're there probably, you're feeling there's no need. You have all the time. Because we say that the enemy uses schemes to entice us, to lure us into destruction. So you feel like you have all the time. I'm still young. Why give my life to God? I have all the time. You don't know about tomorrow. But the enemy is making you comfortable that you'll have time and you're going to serve God in future. You don't know. Why not now? He has deluded you. He has made you. He has created an illusion like you have the rest of. You have all the edges of time with you. It's only God that knows about your future. And the best thing that you can do is serve God now. The time is now. Not tomorrow. It's now when you have the strength.
So God is challenging us, even as Christians, those are born again. What are you waiting for to serve God? Are you waiting for tomorrow that you never know? God wants you to serve him now, because this is time. The time is now, not tomorrow. It's now that he has given you the strength. But the enemy wants to make you comfortable and think you are going to heaven and doing nothing for God. You are not called just to warm. God is asking you to make a mark in life for the glory and honor of his kingdom. So brethren, let's not be comfortable, because those are the schemes of the enemy. And eventually we find that he got killed. So I told you the enemy comes when you're not aware of his schemes. And we find that in the book of 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is pouring around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. So be self-controlled, be alert. Paul, you know, that's a command. That be alert. You cannot afford to sleep. You need to be alert. You need to be aware as Christians every day, like the enemy is out there coming after you, and he has only one mission, just to make sure he gets you back to his camp. Just to make sure that he gets, but you've been, be alert of his schemes. Be alert. Be aware. And the only way we're going to be aware is when we allow ourselves to inhabit in the presence of Most High God, to be taught of God, to be prayerful, to be just like Jehoshaphat. Let's inquire of the Lord. Let's practice the word of God. Because the other time I told you that we need to practice the word of God. God has given us, you know, the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. We have the knowledge, but we perish because we are not practicing what the Lord has taught us. God wants us to practice. God wants us to obey his commands. God wants us to walk in his ways. God wants us to inquire of him. We are living a very frustrated times because we have not mastered what Jehoshaphat knew. He inquired of the Lord, and we find that he devoted himself to God, and God favored him. That's what will happen of us. If like Jehoshaphat, we inquire, God will favor us. May it be in your business, may it be in whatever you're doing, because you'll not start a business without inquiring God. You will listen and listen carefully. God will give you that discerning spirit. You'll know if you're making the right judgment. And he will tell you to go. But the enemy also can use the scheme of envy. Envy, we know this King Ahab, I think he's the one, we see him early alone, where he envied the vineyard of Naboth. To envy is when you feel like you've become discontented with what you have, because of what somebody else have, of what they possess, and you're no longer comfortable, you want whatever they have to be yours. You want to be there in position. You want to do what they do. And we all know about that story, what happened. Despite all he had, he envied that Naboth vineyard. He had Naboth killed for him to have that. But when you have God, you be contented, knowing it's God that blesses. And when your time comes, you shall surely be blessed. You will not go by what you are seeing. You will not run after people because you want to be in their position. When God's appointed time comes, you will have it. You will get what you're looking for. So let's be aware of the schemes of the enemy, because you become envious of what you don't have. You become discontented with your current situation, your current life, and all you're doing is murmuring and complaining. And when you do that, you chase God away and you chase away your blessings. So I continue to urge you this afternoon to be aware of the schemes of the enemy, because that's the only way we're going to make it. Because we are constantly at the war. The enemy is there to misinterpret the truth for us. We have seen it. We have heard it. People are being told misinterpretation of the truth. Even the enemy is using the ministers of the gospel, telling women that have become desperate to get children, that if they sow seeds in them, they will have children. That's how the enemy conceals the truth. But when you know the truth, that it's only God that opens a womb, you'll stay still and wait for God, and God will surely show up for you. So let's be equipped. Let's put on the full armor of God and make sure and pray God that He may open up our spiritual eyes so that we can see the sections that are remaining in our garment, so that we do not get fooled or become comfortable that we are putting on the full armor of God. And there's a section that the enemy is aiming at. God bless you.